This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's time to get brutally honest.
Go home and enjoy your family and have dinner. Have a beer and go to bed and shut up.
Get this guy a farmhouse. You need to get a horse and live in the mountains tomorrow. And just disappear.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
You just said something to me that was so stupid. You're going to go to the gym and go to a sauna?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
What, to go to Vegas and then drink your face off for 4 days?
No, dude, I wasn't going to bring this up because I don't think people really care about it, but
I do because it's dumb.
I'm trying to shake this cold, man. I've had a cold for like 2 weeks. I've had this.
Have
chest
you never
cold.
Listened to me about Hal Gill?
Yeah, just drink it away.
Scotch.
But you drink scotch before you get it because it kills everything.
No.
Once you've got it, you can't
It'll
kill it.
It'll weaken your immune system.
Right, booze will do that, and yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Through it.
Well, I pointed out off the air. I said maybe I'll go by the gym tonight. I'm a member at a gym, and they've got a sauna. And I'll just sweat it out tonight.
Yeah, go through a steam room.
I might try to do that
this morning.
So I'm thinking about it. That might be my plan tonight.
No, guy, just sweat it out. Scotch. Prep yourself.
I am a little bit worried about that because I haven't been prepping. I haven't been laying the base down prior to a big trip.
Yeah, you're gonna be drunk, guy.
I know, like, I'm worried about that.
We had my bachelor party, my little Sri Lankan buddy from I think you guys met him, Seneca. He's a beauty, but he's so tiny. We're in Vegas. This guy drank his face off the first hour. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. We had to put him to bed. 3:30 in the afternoon.
Well, this isn't my first rodeo. Like, I'm not doing that. Those guys.
We bounced back. 10 o'clock. We woke him up, took him out.
Oh, really? Good for him.
Of course you do.
Yeah, well, you have to. That's right. If you have a siesta in the afternoon, there's nothing wrong with a siesta, but not like 1 hour into the trip.
He was Lomaxed an hour in. Because you're drinking on the plane. You're obviously going to drink on the plane.
I don't know. I'm not a big drinker on the plane kind of guy.
Okay, so who's going on the plane with you? Is it 10 goons?
Yeah, no, there's 4 or 5 of us, I think. I don't know. I don't know all the details.
You're having beers at the airport, for sure.
It's a guy's trip. You know the way this works.
What kind of losers are you hanging out with? You have beers at the airport. You just get greased. Like,
we fly out in the morning, dude. I'm not showing up at the Air Canada lounge and putting on a clinic at like 9:30 in the morning.
Mulls.
Talk to Mullen. Do you know where Mullen's going this weekend?
Where?
Are you aware of Mullen's routine?
What's Mullen? Is he going to the car? Where are you going?
I'm going to my buddy's trailer for the weekend.
He is morphing into Ricky.
I would rather go with him to the trailer than you and your nerd buddies. What are you guys going to do? Read a book on the plane?
Well, I might.
Mullen, do you not just get to the airport and get after it?
Depends. If it's a long flight, it can be a rough flight.
Yeah, thank you. See, he's more sophisticated than you are.
No, he's not.
He's
a bigger idiot than me.
Well, no kid. He's going to a trailer park, dude.
He's going.
Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles from Oshawa are going up.
They're not like mobile trailers. They're like small cottages.
Cousin
Eddie.
They're
nice.
But do you like you back it in? Like, is it?
No,
no,
no. They're there year round.
Okay, so it's like a.
It's basically Mel Gibson's place in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, where he can slide through the floor
out
onto the beach.
No.
Your buddy's the guy that's like in Florida. I lived in Carolina and this is awful because there would be these terrible hurricanes. And you just see this guy where his house was like a trailer park. And he's like,
yeah, it's gone.
Can't believe it blew away.
Well, it's being held down by a thumbtack.
That Mel Gibson trailer in Lethal Weapon was awesome.
So gritty.
How great was that?
Well,
the birds that he had going through there, like Lethal Weapon 2, that woman is one of the more gorgeous cinematic characters of all time.
Yes.
You know who she is. She's Dutch and she's working for the Germans.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway.
And where her boss is like, diplomatic immunity.
Yeah,
like,
just
been revoked.
Yes, I love it. It's great. I watched that last weekend. That's why it's on the top of my mind.
It is. I can actually like quote you lines from that, and I haven't seen it in years, but I love those movies. The Lethal Weapons are amazing.
They're really good. Really good ones.
I will say this long trip, you can take the edge off with a couple. I was on a flight where actually one of our, I'll throw another gentleman under the bus, our buddy Strudwick. They cut him off on the plane. They're like, you've drank all everything. There's nothing left.
Yeah. See, I don't have any interest in doing that. Like, I don't need my party to start at Pearson International Airport. Like, when I land, let's get after it. But I'm like, I'll buy a magazine at the airport. I'll have some podcast set up.
No.
I'll try to get some sleep in if I can. That's
then,
my plan.
Okay, so then you hit the ground running. Now, you gain 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
So what time do you land there? About 2:30?
About 1 o'clock.
Okay, so 1 o'clock. You get to the hotel, you settle in, that's where you start.
Well, I'm going to go to the sports book right off the bat, play some futures, because I want to bet on the Preakness, which is happening Saturday.
And is that, that's Eddie O's pick?
That's Eddie's.
I can't believe, after the entertainment last night with Winnipeg and Vegas, that you and your buddies don't pony up and go to the game.
That was a pretty good atmosphere, eh?
It ridiculous. Seemed like a pretty good atmosphere, but it's amateurs in there, man. You know what you notice? Amateur hockey fans are the kind of guys that in the corner, they're like,
what do you care about what's going on around you? The game on the ice.
It was good hockey.
You guys are 50 under at the what tournament?
At the No Balls Open. Yes, I got it. Okay.
You're 50 under at the No Balls Open.
I would suggest actually we're not, because we're going to pull all that kind of money into... A much better time.
Table service.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do a bunch of different things.
Absolutely.
We get it all figured
out. You're going to have
at least
time.
At the trailer park, they'll have a TV with the game on.
Well, we're going to be doing that too, man. No, we're going. Just, so, I think we're going to that Top Golf or something. We'll start teeing it up, and we're going to have the TVs going. Tell me you wouldn't be involved in it, that.
Well, here's one question. How many guys are going around? 10?
Yeah, give or take.
Will one of them at least visit like the spa during the weekend? Like, is there one spa guy?
I might try to get there if I can. If I'm not feeling well, if I'm under the weather.
Get a haircut?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't know. Do we, if there's like a steam room or something to start your day off in the steam or the sauna?
I know some good spas.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's the Vegas, you'll have a great time.
I don't know what I'm walking into, man. I don't care to go to the game. I really don't.
Two or three beer on the plane. That's more what I'm concerned about.
All right, we'll see.
Take the edge off.
I'll let you know. I'm not a nervous flyer or anything, though.
Well, it's not about being. It's about being social. You're sending a beer up to your. Like, I don't think you're all going to sit together.
No, that's the whole thing, too. I'm sitting beside a couple of grit grinders on the way to Vegas. Gary Lawless's shingles guy is going to be sitting beside me on the flight.
Yeah, he's going to be telling stories. And
yeah.
Everyone on that flight to Vegas is always in a great mood. Always. And you ever flying out of Vegas, there's just people that are just miserable.
I've already booked my seat on the way home, like top price, to make sure that I am tucked away in the front, window shut down.
I don't want to deal with anybody.
Couple of tweets coming in here. Bradley tweeting in that you can't drink at Pearson before 11 a.m.
Air Canada Lounge?
I thought you could, but I guess not. Although, I don't know. Who's this guy? Like, what does he really know?
Well, he's probably a veteran flyer. I've never really had drinks at Pearson, so I wouldn't know. But I fly so much, but I know at the Air Canada Lounge, I've seen some grit grinders pour themselves some stiff ones early.
I always thought that was basically 24/7 if you're in there. And Ed tweeting and saying that it's called a trottage. The trailer/cottage. Have you heard that before, Mullen?
I've never heard that term before.
You don't call it a trottage?
So it's a trailer.
I've got a dumber term for you. There's a term for camping called glamping.
What's that?
I guess it's something nicer than camping.
There's nothing nice about camping.
Have you ever heard that, glamping?
I've never heard that before.
There's nothing nice about camping.
Can you Google glamping to see if it's a thing?
What's it supposed to be, like glamorous? Camping,
yeah, glamping.
So it's probably a beautiful house in the woods. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's called cottaging, dude.
No, there's glamping.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, you're right. There's like a whole deck and everything. Yeah, glamping. What is glamping? Glamping is...
Oh, it's a tent.
It's modern luxury out in the woods.
Yeah, until a spider lands on your face and bites you, and then you're in the car and you're driving home.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Glamping is... part glamour, part camping, and describes a style of camping with amenities and, in some cases, resort-style services not usually associated with traditional camping.
I'd go glamping.
That's probably what I would need.
We should do an overdrive glamping trip.
I like that.
I'll stay in a Winnebago. That's what I'll.
I need electricity. I pointed that out. Like, I need to be able to shower.
All, like, you need to go to the bathroom like a human being.
Yeah.
Not in a hole in the woods.
I agree with you.
Like, that's where you draw the line. That's where I draw the line of, like, I've worked hard my life so that I don't have to live like that.
Right.
To go and take a dump in the woods.
You don't have to wall squat.
Exactly.
Deuce and toss.
Yes. And at 5:30, we are debuting our new segment, Wall Squat, Deuce, and Toss.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to figure out some items in sports where somebody would want to wall squat, deuce, and toss.
Right. Paying homage to what happened in BC yesterday at the Tim Hortons.
Yeah. And so, I sent a note out to Cottonelle, sponsorship for the segment.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
They're maybe debating Timmy's. It. We'll see. So that's coming up at 5:30. Ray's going to be on the show. The World Hockey Championships continue, and Canada won in overtime. I saw the third period in overtime. It was a great third.
It was great.
It was awesome hockey. Like, this is what you need in this tournament. Like, with all the respect to Korea and Denmark, get out of the way. Let's get to Canada, Russia, Finland, Sweden.
Let the five teams play.
Yeah, really. get the big guys playing each other, and then I'm into it. You know, like, it was... it was a fun game. It was a fun back and forth. I felt for Jaden Schwartz, who got injured again.
Yeah.
But I also immediately, when it happened, thought to myself, why is he playing?
We had no season
in this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is the biggest Band-Aid in the NHL. Like, he's a really good player. But Schwartz is always injured. Why would you possibly put yourself in a position to play more games than necessary where you're actually finally healthy?
I feel like... You know my philosophy on it. I think the games are worth so much nowadays in the NHL. Like, I would be very rattled. I'd be rattled if I was Shirelli watching McDavid play over there and just like this
Some guy almost took his knee out today.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, this, he's your golden goose. And I'm, you know, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, like, you're kind of lucky that Matthews isn't playing and Marner.
Marner's not over there. Bill Nylander took it off.
Just let them, you know, let them have a nice summer, relax, and work hard. And, you know, like, I think sometimes I have a little bit of Joey Votto in me when it comes to these tournaments. And not that I wasn't unappreciated, but
who was it a couple years ago, Jamie, that took out Stahl's knee? Was it Ekman Larson?
No, it was Edler.
Yeah, Edler.
Took out Eric Stahl's knee. And he got suspended in the tournament.
Well, it happens, right? Like, if you're going to play the game is what it is. It's physical, and guys are going to get hurt. You need to fill out rosters. I don't disparage a guy for going, but I do think there are certain players where you look at it and you're like, that's an interesting move.
Right.
Like Schwartz being one of the primary guys. He's injured all the time.
Two broken ankles.
You're always injured. You never play a full season in St. Louis. You would think the Blues would be like, hey, dude, you're finally healthy. Can you just work out for a summer and show up at camp? Now, I don't know the extent of his injury. We'll see what Ray says five. But like, McDavid has been lighting up the tournament to nobody's surprise. And I saw someone on Twitter, I think it was Zeisberger, that labeled him Mick Canada.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can get that status at the Worlds. Like, this is where, to revisit a conversation we've been having for years, the fact that they're not at the Olympics, and the fact that the World Cup took place, and because of his age, he couldn't even play for Canada. McDavid has really been screwed over here in terms of his ability and the opportunities to make a name for yourself on the international stage.
Well, imagine his last summer putting on that North American jersey.
Exactly.
And he would have been thinking, I could be playing with Sidney Crosby and Bergeron. And like, well, I can't imagine actually putting on that jersey and playing against a team like Canada and saying, like, I really want to beat these guys. It's impossible.
Yeah.
No, team North America?
We all watched it. We all paid attention to it as we thought that. What was the team that.
Is that coming up again, by the way?
Europe. Well,
no,
it's not.
It's like every four years.
4 years.
They better
guess
that.
Team Europe or whatever? What was even the name of that?
Team Europe. It was Team Misfits, basically. It was all the European teams that weren't represented.
Yeah.
So Kolpatar was on it, and Char, I think, might have been on it.
They made the final.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it was such a gong show of a tournament. But McDavid, he should have the opportunity that Gretzky had. Mm-hmm. That Lemieux had, that Lindros had, that Crosby's had.
Well, like, those moments.
Those moments. Like, Crosby has the golden goal in 2010, one of the most famous goals outside of Henderson, might be the most famous goal in Canadian hockey history.
Yeah.
Because he had the opportunity to do it. He was at the Olympics and the world was watching and every Canadian was watching. Same thing in 2014 where he was great.
Yeah.
McDavid, if they don't go to the Olympics and the World Cup doesn't get its act together, this is going to be it. Every few years, maybe he goes to the World Hockey Championships, but other than that, we're not going to be able to see him
right
against the best competition. And that's why when I say you can't do it at the Worlds, it's because it isn't the best competition. Like, right. Sid isn't playing, and
yeah, there's not,
Ovechkin's, I mean, not there.
Yeah, Ovi's playing.
The NHL's still going.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. It's to me, it's watered down. It's NHL light or it's AHL plus, however you want to look at it. Because yeah, in the final teams, there's a lot of NHL talent there. In the leading up teams, there's one or two guys that could play in the NHL on those outside teams, let's call them.
Right.
The countries that are battling to be there. So it's good hockey, and I love it, and I respect it. It's just, I worry about, and I keep coming back to it, I worry about injury factor. Because guys are making too much money. Not too much for them, but too much money these days, and it's worth so much of a business investment into these players.
Well, they're so important to their to their team.
To their team, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And McDavid being the poster boy of that. But Patrick Kane, too. Kane's over there for the U.S., and did you see his goal today, the 3-2 goal, where he broke that guy's ankles?
Yeah.
Like, that was vintage Showtime. Like, I miss Showtime in the playoffs. Like, there was nobody that was more entertaining, I think, over the past 10 years of playoff hockey than Patrick Kane.
Yep.
When he got dancing for the Blackhawks in a big game.
And delivered. Like, that's the thing.
He was just Showtime. Outrageous.
He was so money.
He's
Showtime.
Because he delivered. At the biggest stage, yep. He was the guy that you knew was going to score the goal.
You knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sign of what's happened with Chicago, the fact that he's over there to begin with. And
yep. Missed the
he's
playoffs.
In a position to do this for the United States.
I'm kind of shocked that he would go over at this stage of his career. And
I feel like because of some of the off the ice stuff, he's still trying to mend some fences and try to
fair
scale back on his reputation.
Because usually the worlds are for younger guys for the most part. I mean, there are guys that from North America, not the European, Sweden, all those guys, Russia, those guys go right away. But from North America, it usually is kind of the younger guys that go.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran guys take a pass on it for the most part.
He's still in his 20s.
No, I know.
And he's
later
20s. Never really had an opportunity. Like, he hasn't been out of the playoffs in a decade.
Yeah.
So.
And they are a ton of fun. Like, it's a fun tournament for these guys. Like,
yeah. Copenhagen would be really cool.
It's great cities. It's kind of a vacation you get to go and play hockey with. So it's good for them, and it's been good hockey so far.
Jay's back in town taking on Oakland tonight. Gord Ash will join us in about 15 minutes. So we'll get into the game last night, Vegas getting past Winnipeg. We got to get into the Raptors Twitter account and what went down last night. A lot of people are buzzing about that. Our boy Bartolo Colon
is
in the news.
Had a remarkable play.
Yeah. He's a stud. He's a Gold Glove contending pitcher. I don't think there's any question. And he's love the fact that he's still using the interpreter after games. It's so great. He's been up
here.
You know,
he sits on a bus, a plane, or a restaurant and just talks with his teammates. You don't. I don't know.
He's been in the majors for 25 years, and he's like, I'm not changing my routine, man.
I love it.
You want to hear from me? Here's my guy. I'll talk to him. He tells you what I have to say.
It's brilliant.
I think it's actually a great move.
I used to say to Thomas Caberle, I'm like, you've been here a long time, and you're basically Canadian. Like, he loves everything about living here. He lives here
he
now.
He still lives here.
Yeah, and it gets worse. Well, he can't.
That's like Esa Tiikkanen.
Yeah.
You gave him the bird the other day on Twitter.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was great, actually. Yeah.
He was like, nice try, Canada.
So you just sent back a bird?
Bird.
Do you know him personally?
No. We follow each other on Twitter, though.
Did he write you after that?
No.
Well, he got the message.
Yeah, that's a pretty...
It's a strong
blatant,
message.
Strong message.
Yeah. It's all in fun. Who cares, man? What, are you going to have some fake outrage?
No.
Me? Yeah, maybe I will, actually.
You're owly today.
I'm thinking about having some fake outrage.
It's his last day here.
Hashtag wall squat deuce and toss to you.
Okay, right back at you. Let's start hurling some feces on the show.
The wall, what is it? Wall squat,
Deuce and Toss.
Deuce and Toss.
Yeah, it's coming up at 5:30. It's going to be quite the segment.
I'm sure.
It'll be do we have a sting for it?
Probably not.
Come on. You got to come up with
Harry
something.
Harry Dunn. Just shave.
Yeah, just
shave.
Get some Harry or something. We got a long time. We'll put something together between now and 5:30. Ray's coming up at 5, Gord Ash, and we'll get into what happened last night in Vegas. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Gord Ash will join us in about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. So, you had an interesting back and forth on Twitter with Pierre LeBrun last night about Mark Scheifele and his cap situation, his contract.
It's got to be the best contract in the league, doesn't it?
Well, he's got a cap hit of 6.1 million. I think for another 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
who would you take, Scheifele or Eichel?
Oh, Scheifele every day of the week.
Yeah.
I might take Scheifele, period. Like, I think he might be better than Eichel, even though Eichel's younger with more.
Yeah, forget upside about the money.
Yeah, I think right now, like for a game tonight, I'm taking Scheifele over Eichel every day of the week. But Eichel at $4 million more a year, that's
insanity.
Crazy. But I was thinking about it because of you guys going back and forth. Mark Scheifele is the perfect cap era player.
Yes, he is.
Because he was good early, good enough to know I got to sign him long term, but not great early where you're like, I got to give him everything.
Right.
He's the perfect cap circumvention player.
I know what you're going with this. Do you actually think that this logic is going to apply to Austin Matthews?
No, Matthews doesn't apply there.
Nylander or Marner.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Maybe Nylander and Marner are the kind of guys in 4 years, they're like, they have unbelievable years and they're top 15 players in the world, but not Matthews. Matthews is like Eichel and McDavid.
Right.
You're going to have to pay him.
So what you're saying is if PK Subban got bridged, don't be shy to bridge other people.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
And not referring to Matthews.
What I'm saying is to hit a grand slam in the cap era is to pick a guy when he's 18 that's good but not great. Like that, as weird as that sounds.
That sounds dumb.
It does, but with the intention and the hope that he becomes great,
well,
that he morphs into a great player.
But you also, like, that's the thing.
No, what you just described is that's how you get a discount. You draft a really good young talent, and he becomes great, and you get the number at good.
Exactly.
And then he becomes great.
That's what I'm saying. That's perfect in the cap era.
It is perfect, and it's because Scheifele technically was a little bit of a late bloomer,
right?
In essence,
seventh overall pick, right, back to the OHL for a couple years,
twice,
you know, 50-point season, and now it's like, now this guy's money, and that's what I'm saying is like, if it, in an ideal world, and I know it's probably more of an outlier than anything else, but you get a guy who just slowly builds his game up. But you pay him before, you know, on halfway up the roller coaster, but you get him all the way through the ride.
Take a look at Winnipeg's roster. They not only have one of them, Blake Wheeler's 31 years old. If you actually take a look at how productive he's been in the last 4 or 5 years, I believe he's scored 26 goals or more in the last 4 years consistently.
Yeah. Oh, he's.
Now, this is a guy who got better and grew. Like, Brian Little is another guy, is a prime example. Now, Scheifele's on a different level.
That's
than
the thing.
Guys.
I'm not talking about the guys who stay where they are. Like, Little's a good player, but he's a second-line guy who's getting paid appropriately.
Right.
Like, Scheifele, they looked at him and said, now, I don't know if they thought he'd get to this level. And let's be honest, he's scoring at a playoff rate that is unheard of. And this isn't going to be consistent. He's not going to score a goal per game throughout his playoff career. That's not going to happen. But he's a legitimate top 15 or 20 player in the world, and I think he has been for a couple of years. And they looked at him, and they're like, you know what? He's really good, and he's getting better.
Yeah.
Let's sign him to an 8-year deal or a 6 to 8-year deal. It would be like, here's the example for the Leafs. If in 2 years Morgan Rielly is a top 7 or 8 defenseman in the world, that's what it would be like.
Right.
Fifth overall, back to junior, good player. You knew you had to lock him in, give him a long-term deal at a good cap, and then all of a sudden
just
he's up for
time for him to arrive.
Keeps going and going.
Yeah.
Because that's how you build a great cap team, so to speak,
well,
with guys like that, who you get on the cheap who exceed their number.
Look at Tampa, Kucherov. His contract.
Right, exactly. But it's not long term.
What about the second element of the comment? Would you like some kind of scenario you always like to spice up in sports? But the thing is, you would always want it on the negative. Like if a guy sucks, one contract per year to rip up and just say, you're not making this, you're making that. But what about if it's Shifley or if you're Winnipeg, you'd be like, we're ripping that up, but you're getting 12 now. You wouldn't want that.
No, of course not. I think it would allow for more flexibility around the league if you could take a number off a team's cap.
Well, no kidding.
Would be great, but that's not going to happen in Gary Bettman's NHL.
I had this crazy vision years ago that, say, for example, now hear me out because it is stupid and it'll never, ever happen. But say you're spending, let's just do a round number, $75 million on a team. And you got paid at the end of the season on your production. Now there would be some guaranteed if you got hurt, obviously, but mm-hmm. like there's always the outliers of a guy who has a 30 goal season, but he's on a great contract making $2 million, and the $8 million player has an off season, so why should he make $8 million?
So you're saying at the end of the year that's when you disperse the money.
Right.
But every team has to disperse $75 million.
Right. Like it just,
and you divvy up the pie based on how everything played out.
How important you were in that team. I always thought that was, and it's crazy, and it would never happen.
It would never happen, but that is cool. That would be
cool.
Fun.
Because now you're looking at guys who are grossly overpaid or grossly underpaid.
Everyone
to get through the season, everyone makes $1 million. And then at the end of the year,
right.
That guy who got 30 gets the extra $6 million.
And this guy who was a plug all year gets 500 grand.
Or gets $120.
Yeah. You know, everybody playing hard, I know that.
It's
like guys on one-year deals. They play really good.
Wouldn't the competition for the empty net goals, for the goal, like for the stats, you would see mercenaries because players are mercenaries.
I love that. $1 million to every player, and the bonus?
And
who gets
the end of the year, here's the rest of the pie to be dispersed on a sliding scale. Now the starting goaltender who played 60 games gets $5 million or whatever. It would be just be. I don't know if there's fantasy games out there like that or whatever.
I don't know. Not usually like retroactively paying out, but
I just think
you know who would hate that probably more than anything. In a weird way, would be the coach, because do you know how many agents would be calling that coach every single day saying,
"So painful.
Oh,
get my guy on the power play.
What the hell was that last night? You keep giving this guy opportunities. He sucks. What are you trying to get him an extra $1 million at the end of the year?
But
get him off the PK.
Maybe the coach is on the sliding scale too.
Well, that's true.
Losses.
How you coach him?
Exactly. Like that's how you coach. You're coaching to win, not coach to give people experience. And I just think it would be like the mercenary hockey league, like mm-hmm. MHL.
By the way, if you're following the world championships, major upset. Finland loses to the Swiss, and they're out.
No way.
Yeah. If you watched any of the Finns this tournament, they've been dummying teams.
Well, is that right?
The Finns are out.
Isn't that karma? Because didn't Ekblad call them a bunch of divers?
Yeah. Dishonesty.
Dishonest hockey players. Dishonest they were playing because they were diving and flapping around.
Wow.
Ekblad was losing it.
And Sweden just barely beat Latvia.
That's crazy. Sweden is regarded as this powerhouse.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Latvia, Bobby Hartley got this.
Actually,
team
there's still some time left. I can't tell how much.
One second.
Oh, 1 second. So
neutral zone.
All right. Waste of time. Okay, we're going to get Gord Ash on here. We'll get his take on the Vladdy Guerrero Jr. stuff. I guess he was up to his old antics again on Instagram, and people want to know where he's going.
Yeah.
And the fans want to get him up here, and it's Oakland in town. Jay's taking on the Athletics. We'll catch up with Gord Ash in 2 minutes. All right, we're going to call up Ray in Denmark in about 25 minutes. I'm going to guess he's not going to be happy about coming on with us, but you never
know. He was quite jovial on Twitter today, saying he ran into a couple former... He ran into Vladimir Malikov.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was my former teammate.
Man, that guy was good.
He was so good, but this guy could sleep through a game, through a week, He was one of the most talented players I've ever seen in my life. 6'4", 225, shredded, could put the puck through the net, had a give-a-you-know-what meter of... 0.1.
He's one of the guys that got busted in Montreal, I think, hurt, and then he was skiing or something.
With his supermodel wife, I guess.
Was that
Ludmilla.
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it happens.
He never spoke to me. Like, I think I played with him in, like, 2 years. Maybe said five words.
Didn't like you, or?
I just, he's a miserable person.
Oh, was he always miserable?
He was crabby.
Well, then him and Ray are perfect
for
each other.
That's why I was going to write to Ray.
Yeah, they probably
Twitter
saw each other in the street. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, dude?
But I think it was a language barrier back then. You never know.
You never know. The Leafs signed four different guys today. We'll tell you about that later this afternoon. Jay's back in town, Oakland in town. Here's the former GM of the Blue Jays and our TSN Jays analyst, Gord Ash. How you doing, Gord?
Very well. How about you guys?
We're doing well. We're tracking Vladdy Guerrero Jr. on Instagram. I mean, this is the big story in Toronto. What's he up to? Where's he going? As a GM, how would you handle the buzz around this kid? I mean, would you feel obligated to tell the fans about your plan, to talk about Vladdy Guerrero Jr., or just pretend like, you know, he's in the minors and he's not on our radar and leave us alone?
I think they've chosen the latter, but, you know, it's a situation where he can't be ignored. This is, you know, a record-setting pace that he's on, and I think the situation is unique in that I'm not sure they are kind of in a clear zone on what to do. The club's been competitive. They're certainly still in the early stages of a wild card race. What do you do with Josh Donaldson? Because I don't think you can really talk about bringing your best prospect up and inserting him in the DH role. And it's tough to have your pending free agent star player accept the DH role. So I think they're in the buying time mode, and the first thing for me would be you've got to think about moving them to AAA, and let them do the same thing there for a month and a half, and then you can be in a better position to know what you're going to do for the remainder of this year.
Would you tell the player? I mean, knock it off with the Instagram stuff, like entice, like trying to get people to buy in, like just stop causing issues. I mean, there's been enough stuff with Stroman. And what he tweets and what he says, would you tell the player, like, just relax, you're going to be here soon enough?
Yeah, I think you need to do that. You need to have a conversation with him. And, you know, he understands how this works. He went through this with his father. He understands the business part of the game. So I think it just warrants a conversation, and probably just as importantly with his agent as well. And, you know, it reminds me, and it's a long time ago, but when the Blue Jays picked up Tom Hankey back in the early 90s, I guess it was, maybe late 80s, he had a record-setting first half in Syracuse, and it was every day, when's he coming up, when's he coming up? And, you know, finally, the situation cleared enough that he was able to come up and did a great job. So I think it's just a matter of communication and ensuring that Vladdy knows that his time is due. But I will say this. I do think from a player development standpoint, they talk a lot about being good teammates and trying to come up together. But you can't hold a talent like this back, and he deserves to at least go to AAA, and that's going to buy them some more time.
With former Blue Jays GM Gord Ash, how does Josh Donaldson tie into this? Because, you know, we talk about this all the time. You guys are former athletes, and you always say no one really cared about what was going on in the minors. You didn't pay attention to the draft unless someone was picked that plays your position. And now you got a situation here where Donaldson is in a contract year. By all accounts, he'd like to stay here. No one knows if the Jays want to keep him, if they're going to keep him, if they're going to trade him. We're not quite certain where this conversation is going to go. But he's aware that they've got this phenom on their hands who plays his position. So how would you handle that conversation with Donaldson, or, you know, the elephant in the room, so to speak?
Yeah, it's complicated because I'm not sure that even though Josh may want to stay, that the club can afford to keep him at the kind of salary he's looking for. Now, obviously, last year's free agent market is going to put a bit of doubt in his mind as to what he's actually worth, but I really have to believe he'll be traded. I don't see how he's going to get signed. I don't think you can take it into the offseason and hope that you can sign him when you can obviously get something for him of value at this point. So that's card one. And Josh, you know, you may not follow the minor league, but you can't help but know that this guy's on the verge. Now, are those, and I don't know this for certain because I've not seen him play enough, but there are those that say he's not a third baseman, that he's really a first baseman or a left fielder. So those are also possibilities. But if they were going to make that position change, you think they would have done that at this point. And they've left him at third base, so obviously someone thinks that he can play the position. And I really think this will probably all come very clear sometime in July.
Gord, we talk about a certain gentleman that plays in the majors who's 44 years old, and he's a great pitcher. He may not be in the best shape, but his name is Bartolo Colon. Would you ever sign that gentleman at any stage of his career?
I wish I would have when he was a lot younger, but I tell you, he's amazing. He's amazing because he obviously has a lot of fun playing the game, but he has... You know, he's not your prototypical pitcher in that he's not relying on velocity. He has pinpoint command of his pitches, and he can put it exactly where he wants with just enough on it, movement on the ball to fool hitters. So, you know, he's bounced around here the last several years to a number of clubs, but at each club he goes to, he seems to make a strong contribution. So I don't think he can write this guy off, and, you know, clearly he's got an interesting medical background, shall we say, in terms of his stem cell replacements and so on. But, you know, he's certainly still competitive and certainly still of value to his club.
Yeah, I think he's probably the front runner for the Gold Glove now after last night's display. He takes a comebacker right off the boiler and makes it look simple. I mean, he picked that up. He didn't even flinch, and he just kept pitching.
Yeah, awesome.
Takes one right off his stomach and doesn't even flinch. So
he was a goalie in his early years.
Yeah,
he must have been.
That's what it feels like. You're right. Thank you for doing this, Gord. Always appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
There's Gord Ash. That lights up our Twitter account more than anything else. Whenever Bartolo Colon does something.
But that play.
That was a comebacker and a half. It was like 104
if you
miles
were chiseled,
an hour.
Your broken rib.
Yeah.
He took it off the boiler and then just... shook it off. Like, threw it in and then smiled. Like, looked back at his
all
teammates.
Good.
All good.
Yeah. Like the Homer Simpson move.
He's amazing.
He really is. He's a specimen.
Yeah.
Like, we goof around, but the guy's 44.
44 years
old. Put on 100 pounds over the course of his career. He's still playing. He's still pitching. He's still running.
I was checking out a salary matrix. He makes $12.5 million this year.
He's not. Well, you get that kind of tenure, you have to pay a guy a certain amount of money.
But he just, like, he must be so rich. Like, he must be so famous on so many different levels, like, throughout the majors.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's got some issues.
Oh,
he has a couple
everywhere.
Families or whatever, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly some personal issues.
He's a beauty, though.
Rays coming up live from Denmark, Canada, off to the next round. They beat Russia earlier today, so they're off to the semis. They're guaranteed to compete for a medal. Ray will join us just after 5. We'll tee up Game 4, the Caps-Lightning Series. Try to get you an update on these four players that the Maple Leafs signed to entry-level deals earlier today. And keep looking back on Winnipeg losing Game 3 in Vegas, the opener, the crowd, everything that's going on out there in Vegas. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. You guys hear about this story in Ohio? A 93-year-old allegedly hit his first ever hole-in-one.
Been golfing for 65 years.
I hope he doesn't pass away right after that.
Well, he's quit. He said he's done now.
Was it a J-Mac grenade?
I'm a little bit worried about that. Like, I didn't see a quote from a witness. Like, I don't want to call this guy out or...
You're calling him.
But I'm calling him out. I'm debating whether or not this is fake news.
I've called into the pro shop before, like a little two-tiered green, and you see the ball disappear. You call down and say, look, I'm on the tee, but would a guy be greasy enough to actually drive up, throw it in the hole, and then go back up and call? And, like,
maybe.
There are a lot.
Why would you ever do
that? Because it's his last round. It's one of the, hey, thanks, Billy McGee. You've been playing here for 65 years. Here's your. He's never had a hole in one.
The guy's got half a shovel of dirt in his head. Do you think he really cares about a hole in one?
Yes, clearly, because he's telling the world. He's calling every paper on earth. That was rude.
What?
Like I'm being rude. I'm saying he's lying.
You're
about
calling
a hole
him a liar.
One.
I said I hope he doesn't die, and he goes, he's got a half a shovel of dirt on his head. I'm like, we are the three most disrespectful people to this elder gentleman who's excited about getting...
You know what this guy should be doing to us right now? A wall squat.
Yes.
Deuce and toss.
At the three of us.
Yeah.
For that kind of an attitude.
I'm adding him to my list. Or Noodles, do you want to take him?
No, probably should.
That would be one for me. If someone's... If you lie about a hole-in-one and you start promoting it, you deserve it.
I will wall squat. Hashtag wall squat. Deuce and toss.
Wasn't it like the...
Do we have a sting?
The leader of China. Remember he said he shot like...
No, that was Kim Jong-un. That was the leader of North Korea.
Sorry, North Korea.
Yeah.
North Korea.
Yeah, he claims he shot like 11 or something. Like it wasn't even possible.
Yeah, he shot like 36 over, you know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like 36. He had like 7 or 8 holes in one.
Never ever went to the bathroom. Remember, like there were so many things. Yeah,
the propaganda was really, at some point someone had to say, come on.
Yeah.
All right, race coming up and hashtag
wall squat deuce and toss coming up.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.